This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
What I tell everyone, I was born by God's dear grace in an extraordinary place where the stars and stripes and the eagle flies.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another hour of What's on Your Mind, the most listened to radio program on the Northern Plains. Going to open up those phones this hour some more for your calls, questions, anything you have in the way of an opportunity to visit with Senator Kevin Cramer in the Talk Radio Town Hall, which we do every Friday in this very hour, is welcome today on the program. Senator Cramer, welcome back. How are you?
Well, right now I'm hungry because I'm a lot of people listening to this don't know that we're looking at each other on these big. I have a really big computer screen, and I don't know what you're eating, but because it's sort of hidden behind the water bottle, but it looks like a waffle with maybe some chocolate on
it. No, it's actually just a bagel with some peanut butter on it that I've been munching on this morning, little by little.
Wow.
But look, does that make you hungry?
I mean, it's bad enough he does those, you know, ads with the pulled pork and the Swedish meatballs.
Yeah.
Now he eats right in front of us.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to kind of be a little more quiet about it, but now you busted me. So now, yeah, you've outed me. Kev, what do you got over there? Kev's got a little.
I finished up my English muffin.
Did you? Yeah. Okay.
Same thing.
So yeah,
it's a food group for me.
Todd, we're making you jealous here. Or did you sneak out for a little snack in the K-Fry kitchen too?
Just me and my coffee.
He's calling Bearscat right now.
Yeah, I think he is. Oh, now you're making me hungry.
No, but yeah. if someone were to just suddenly come in here, I might reach for it. But
you're forced for it.
Yeah. I think Todd should show off his new hardware. He's got a couple new plaques on the wall there for the best of the best. How about that? From the Bismarck Tribune,
obviously.
Even. Yeah.
Well, the Tribune readers, not from the...
The
Tribune itself is never going to give an award like that. But the readers vote, and then they say, well, okay, I guess
they had to count your votes anyway. So
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Exactly right. All right. Questions or comments, welcome.
They didn't want Mike Lindell breathing down their neck, so they had to give you a
statement. Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, you're on fire, buddy.
I'm on a roll today, Kevin.
Yeah, no kidding.
I love it.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you a question about last hour's topic because we have Josh Keegan on from the Department of Commerce, Economic Development and Finance Director, a position you once held in the Schaefer administration.
Yeah.
And who'd have thought that position would take somebody from North Dakota down to Miami for a Bitcoin conference that tens of thousands of people are attending from around the world.
Yeah.
You're on the Senate Banking Committee. Somebody earlier referenced Elizabeth Warren, who's also on that committee, and her take on this, which we instantly dismissed as soon as we hear her name, just because I don't think the woman's been right about anything ever, but represents Massachusetts' viewpoints well. What's your take on this space? You either love it or hate it, I found. You've got some people that believe it's digital currency. It is the mark of the beast. It is, you know, bad, bad, bad. And others who make the case rather strongly that it's decentralized finance. It's actually, there's a reason big banks hate it, because they lose control. And the government would have less control over it. So what do you think?
So I think everybody's sort of right, if you want to know the truth. I think for the most part, people that just outright hate it are afraid of it because they don't know very much about it. And I'm... frankly, even sitting on the committee, don't know that much about it. Every time I think I know a lot about it, I find out something else, and I find out I don't really know that much about it. And that is because it is a, as you know, Scott, a very rapidly, progressing I shouldn't use the word progressive, perhaps, but you know, growing interest, understandably so. And that does make people nervous. It certainly makes traditionalists nervous. It makes establishment nervous. My basic take on it as a banking committee member, I guess you could say, is I think that we need to make room for the innovation and try to do everything, well, try to avoid doing anything that squelches the opportunity that may exist. I don't think you should have any more, nor do I think you should have any less oversight than the American dollar or any other, quote, currency, as you said. And that's a little bit of the challenge. For now, I think we ought to sort of take a soft touch approach and see where it leads. But people need to beware, like they do with any type of an investment. And if it becomes, quote, currency, again, as you say, I think this issue of whether it's currency or whether it's just another market tool that has a lot of value, I would submit from what I do know about it, Scott, there's more that backs a Bitcoin in terms of legitimate backstop than there is with the American dollar. I mean, the American dollar is backed by the full faith and credit of the United States. Some people could argue that full faith and credit is not quite as stable as it used to be. So kind of a roundabout answer. I'm still in the discovery phase myself, but hey, I don't want to get in anybody's way of, looking at the tremendous opportunities. And decentralizing is not really all that bad a thing, to say the least.
No, to me, it empowers the little guy. But again, I feel like a newborn, trying to learn how to swim in the ocean as far as the space. There's a lot to learn for sure. But, you know, one thing that Josh stuck with said that from the conference is that the rate of change is almost like when the internet first became commercialized. It's just happening so fast.
I didn't hear the interview, but that's a really good illustration, Scott. That's what I was trying to rather inarticulately say. You have to be very careful not to throw up roadblocks to something that's moving this fast. You also have to be aware. But for now, there's been nothing that has set back the progress being made by the innovators and the curious, for sure.
All right, we had a call coming last hour, so let's go to that first. That's why we say get your questions in early. Go ahead and roll that one, Kevin.
In the infrastructure bill that was passed, there's a deal in there that all new vehicles in a few years have to have a kill switch, and I want to know who controls that kill switch, if it's the government or who, because if the government can shut all the cars down, that doesn't seem like the right thing.
Yeah, that sounds like some sort of a one of those fake news things, Scott. So there's been some concern. Some people have questioned or even accused the bill of having a GPS monitoring required so the government can get all of their mileage and charge them for mileage, have a per mile fee. And that's not true either. Don't get me wrong. There's some people who would love to do that. What there is there's a pilot program. And by the way, several states do this. They have, in addition to their gas tax or as a supplement to the gas tax, a per mile tax, because you're getting a lot of vehicles, electric vehicles, that don't pay taxes. In fact, in many states, they're subsidized, and the federal government, the Democrats want to subsidize everybody to be able to buy these cars, which just drives up the price of the car, but that's another issue. So there is a pilot program to look at the various states, and then people can volunteer if they want to look at the possibility of how would you tax an electric vehicle or a non-liquid fuels vehicle if they don't get charged at the pump, the 18 cents that the federal government currently taxes for liquid fuels, for gasoline. I'm all for that. We clearly shouldn't let electric vehicle drivers not pay for the roads, while diesel and gas drivers are the only ones paying for the roads. But a kill switch, I've never heard that one. That one seems a bit out there, but somebody smarter than me will find it before the end of the show probably.
Well, I just was doing a little quick check here, and it sounds like former U.S. Representative Bob Barr has put out a warning that this is buried, hidden away is the term, in the recently passed infrastructure bill, that if the measure were to install vehicle kill switches into every new car, truck, and SUV sold in the country, likely won't be enforced for 5 years. So there's still time to do something about it, is the allegation from Bob Barr.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what a kill switch even would be, or I suppose if you're stealing it. Like an emergency brake or something for a driver.
Yeah, you're stealing, or if you're stealing a vehicle to be able to do it. But the question is, I guess, who controls it for sure?
You can already sort of do that. You know, if you have OnStar.
Yeah, OnStar does that.
That's not real new. But anyway, we'll find out more.
I'll pass this Daily Caller story along with the opinion piece from former Representative Bob Barr for Senator Cramer. Another topic, and we're going to go back to the calls in a moment here, but we're coming up against a break. But I want to spend some time today talking about the 9,000 lease lie. You took it right to the Biden administration on this lease versus permit debate on the slow walking, and I think we got to cover that today, too, so we'll touch on that and more when we continue on What's on Your Mind, brought to you today by PetroServe USA. I know Kevin's waiting for me to make him.
Here he goes.
Hungry him.
Yeah, here we go.
Friday specials include fish and fries or a stuffed cabbage roll in Valley City, the two-piece fish fry basket or pulled pork in Harwood, fried or baked chicken, or the fish sandwich, West Main Avenue, West Fargo fish sandwich at 12th Avenue, MP Avenue, and the Glendon store has baked cod and pollock filet.
North Dakota Truck Wash, the Bakken's premier all-in-one location stop for all of your vehicle's wash needs. Commercial vehicles, standard semis, work trucks, pickup trucks, SUVs, and even motorhomes. Plus, you won't find better customer service anywhere. Find North Dakota Truck Wash conveniently located behind Sanex in Stanley on the truck bypass. Open 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday or call 628-1550. Online at ndtruckwash.com.
End of year means a lot to your farm business, and High Plains Apache may have that used sprayer you need, like a 2009 Hardy Commander 4400 pull-type sprayer, or a 2002 Red Ball 670 pull-type sprayer, or a 2018 Apache AS1030 self-propelled sprayer. It's the right place and the right time for used sprayers you're looking for. The 2022 models are ready for you, too, with product, parts, and service. End of year deals means an easier next year. High Plains Apache Sprayers at highplainsapache.com.
Stratacorp wants you. Come build a solid future with the good folks at Stratacorp. Hiring events are happening Wednesday, April 13th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Grand Forks, 1600 North 48th Street. West Fargo, 210 12th Avenue Northwest. And Mandan, 1105 40th Avenue Southeast. On-site interviews are happening. Find out about $2,500 sign-on bonus for ReadyMix drivers, too. The Stratacorp hiring event, Grand Forks, West Fargo, and Mandan, 11 a.m. to 2, Wednesday, April 13th. Don't miss it. Your future starts now with Stratacorp.
PetroServe USA says, come on in, have a cup of coffee with us, or a cappuccino, or a fountain pop, any size, 49 cents. PetroServe USA, big bag of the old Trapper beef jerky, $12.99, salted nut rolls, 3 for $2, liquid ice energy drink, 16-ounce size, 2 for $3.50, and a big 28-pack of water is just $3.99. Don't forget those tie-dye hoodies, too, buy one, get one free. PetroServe USA, helping America feel better. Tell them Scott sent you.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
It's the Talk Radio Town Hall on a Friday. Senator Kevin Cramer is here answering your questions or comments. Simple as a phone call. Here you go, 258-0550. Telephone number 258-0550. Put that on your speed dial. You can call us with a touch of just one button there in your favorites. 258-0550. You can also text 237-1590. Scott in Mandan, your next four is Senator Cramer. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, good morning, Senator. Good to hear from you at the convention on Saturday.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. Good to see you.
Yeah, I want to change gears a little bit. My question is, what are you going to be doing to ensure that some version of the MORE Act that just passed the House or the CAO Act in the Senate is passed and advanced to the president to become the law of the land?
Describe the legislation to me.
Both of them relate to cannabis or marijuana and decriminalization.
Yeah, yeah. Got it.
The MORE Act just narrowly passed the House. I understand it will be going to the Senate, but the Senate has their own act, the CAO. Obviously, my position is something needs to be done to end the war on drugs and respect states' rights and the rights of adults to decide what does or doesn't go in their bodies. So I feel it's a conservative cause. I'd just like to hear if you agree, and if so, what you'll be doing to make sure those pass.
Sure. So, I don't agree. Although I've been a sponsor of the Safe Banking Act since it first came up, Senator Cory Gardner from Colorado, who was defeated in the last election by John Hickenlooper, was the key sponsor of that legislation. And being on the banking committee, I was a prime banking committee sponsor of the Safe Banking Act. And what that did is it recognizes that each state, as they legalize marijuana in its various uses, whether it's strictly for medicinal purposes or if it's for recreational or, you know, some gauge in between, depending on the strength, all that stuff that you're familiar with. I believe that it ought to be financed in not just a legal way, but a way that is, regulated like every other type of financial commerce. So it should neither be punished nor should it get a pass. But what we shouldn't have is an industry that is strictly cash and take away the opportunities for, all the tools of legal commerce and legal banking. So I've been a strong proponent of it. Now, it's interesting, after Cory Gardner lost and was strongly opposed, by the way, by the legalized cannabis community in Colorado, they came to me and said, hey, would you be the prime sponsor? I'm like, why in Sam Hill would I do that for a bunch of people that are just going to turn around and work against me? So I didn't, but I still am an original co-sponsor of the Safe Banking Act. And that is simply for the reason you just stated, that states are legalizing marijuana, but not all at the same level. And those states should be able to make those decisions for themselves. And then the banking community can respond accordingly. But I do not support federally decriminalizing marijuana or legalizing marijuana. Again, I respect the states' rights to do it. But I wouldn't support the federal government doing it. Nor, by the way, would I support North Dakota doing it as a North Dakota citizen. But, I think these are states issues. Because again, marijuana, not all marijuana is the same, and none of it's, your father's marijuana. And I think a lot more work needs to be done before we
Kevin,
give a blanket, green light to it.
When it comes to the Fed, does that mean, I think it was it Schedule 1? It's just basically whether
it's whether it is on the schedule.
Whether it stays as a Schedule 1 narcotic or it gets removed is basically the federal government's role, correct?
Right. So the federal government, that's right. The federal government, and that's part of ATF. So the federal government would reduce the or raise the
status,
that particular categorization, that status of it. And then law enforcement would have a different standard. I will tell you, law enforcement just does not support decriminalizing or legalizing.
Well, of course they don't, because they get a ton of funding from the federal government. The federal war on drugs has been as big a failure as Biden's pullout from Afghanistan.
I agree with that.
It's been used to militarize state and local police.
Went war. Yeah. So, but I'm not talking about departments. I'm talking about officers. I talk to a lot of them, and I've never met one yet. And that's not to say there aren't some that think you ought to just, decriminalize or legalize marijuana. And a lot of it's because marijuana is getting stronger. It's not just a gateway drug for a lot of people. It's become a very strong, problematic drug that has a lot of ramifications for people. So anyway, my position is states should have the rights to determine marijuana use in their own states, but I'm not a advocate, at least not at this point, of decriminalizing it on the
federal. Well, it would go a long way to honoring states' rights.
Say that one more time, Scott.
I said action at the federal level to deschedule it, remove it from the schedule of controlled substances, would do a lot for states' rights.
And it seems the train has left the station a long time ago on that, with as many states as are circumventing all of the federal stuff. It just seems like it's not an
experiment that's been going very well, all in all, though, either. And that's part of the issue. As we look at the laboratories of democracy at the state level,
read Alex Berenson on this. Alex Berenson does some really interesting reporting on it, the effects that don't often get talked about. Scott, appreciate the call. Right. Call for Senator Kramer. Here we go.
This is for Senator Kramer. I would like him to expand on his frustration with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Oh. He has recently stopped North Dakota fish and game money from going to the feds. And I'd like to know why. Thank you.
I'm not sure about the Fish and Wildlife Service stopping state money from going to the feds, but I did stop. I did try to amend a piece of legislation yesterday in the EPW. On a bill that I was an original co-sponsor for, that then got amended to do exactly the opposite of what I wanted in the bill, and so consequently I pulled my support for it, issued an amendment to restore the state's portion of it, and did not prevail. One Republican voted against my amendment on the committee, and so the amendment failed. Here's what it is. My frustration with Fish and Wildlife Service would take me this show and all of next week, and especially if I went one landowner at a time. And so I'm going to try to say this as succinctly and clearly as I possibly can. I have not met a person at the Fish and Wildlife Service yet that respected the rights of landowners. But I've met lots of them who've carried their guns, put on their bulletproof vests, come fully armed into a farmer's yard or up to a farmer in a tractor to say, you're planting your crop too close to that duck pond over there, that your granddaddy signed an easement with us for. And so we control your land. And then I've also seen lots of farmers appeal what I think are obviously illegal actions by the Fish and Wildlife Service. And I've never seen a Fish and Wildlife Service official at the highest levels, including Trump, Fish and Wildlife Service officials, ever find in favor of the landowner. Every single time they find against the landowner. And what I'm talking about, Scott, and if I had my maps with me and I could show you, an easement that was signed, for example, in 1972, that said this section of land has 40 acres of wildlife easement or waterfowl production area easement because of a lake. And then a decade later, when the lake is still there, but then there's a little gray spots, Fish and Wildlife has decided, oh, we have control over those too. Oh, and by the
more
way,
H.A. Thompson & Sons, helping people for over 100 years save money by doing it right the first time. Now they build unique maintenance programs that apply a financial and mechanical solution to lower your owning and operating costs. They didn't like the old model in the industry, which was providing services and billing hours for repairs instead of getting paid for making your equipment run more efficiently and reliably. H.A. Thompson & Sons can tell you more. Call them at 223-3393, 701-223-3393, or at HATandSons.com.
Hi, this is Kevin Pfeiffer with Pfeiffer's Auction Company. Pfeiffer's upcoming April auctions include nearly 1,500 acres of crop pasture and hunting land in Slope, Stark, Pettinger, and Dunn counties in western North Dakota, 224 acres of exceptional cropland in Grand Forks County, and 320 acres of exceptional crop and hunting land in Griggs County, and further auctions in Pembina, Stutzman, Wells, and Burley counties in North Dakota. View these auctions and many more land and equipment auctions at Pfeiffer's.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
NATO Secretary General Stoltenberg held a news conference after NATO foreign ministers gathered in Brussels to discuss the alliance's next move.
Ukrainian Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba thanked NATO allies for their substantial support. Allies have been doing a lot and are determined to do more. now and for the medium and longer term.
It's day 44 of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. In the last 24 hours, the Kremlin has admitted suffering significant losses of troops since the invasion. Ukraine's President Zelensky has noted the bravery of his nation. A Russian airstrike on a railway in the Donetsk region has blocked three evacuation trains from leaving. Over three dozen civilians were killed, including children. Ukraine is bracing for a renewed Russian offensive on its eastern front. Thanks for listening. It's well appreciated. USA Radio News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Before the top of the hour, questions or comments, welcome for Senator Kevin Cramer on the Talk Radio Town Hall. Previous caller had a question about funding of U.S. Fish and Wildlife, somehow tying that into to Game and Fish.
About the bill that I was talking about yesterday that I co-sponsored. 16 Republicans and 16 Democrats co-sponsored a bill called RAWA, Recovering America's Wildlife Act. And what it was designed to do was to keep critters off of the endangered species list. Liberals love to put animals and bugs and, you know, fish on the endangered species list. So we have a bill to keep them off. Wouldn't that be novel? You know, the endangered species list never has worked very well.
Keep them off by windshield.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, but what the bill did is it sent all of the money to do this to the states. So Game and Fish in North Dakota and other states could determine what's the best way to help keep animals off of the endangered species list as opposed to get them on the endangered species list. Democrats in the Environment and Public Works Committee changed the bill with a substitute amendment, and they offered that up, which it passed. I voted against it. I was the only person in the room that voted against the substitute amendment to take the money away from the states and give it to the Fish and Wildlife Service, because these bureaucrats keep telling us, if you just give us more money, we can help you some more. And I'm like, help me less, please. You know, you've been screwing us for decades. Why in the world would we give you more money to screw us more with? And so that was my position. And so I offered an amendment to restore the original bill. It failed by one vote. Like I said, one Republican on the committee voted against my amendment because he didn't like the original bill either. And it's like, okay, so we're not going to improve a bill. And anyway, so that's probably the caller probably heard something to the effect that of this change in my position yesterday on this RAWA Act. But Scott, you know, you guys have followed me closely enough to know that this is one of my top three issues in life as a member of Congress, is reining in the federal bureaucracy that just tramples on the rights of individuals, particularly in rural America.
Texter says, please ask Senator Cramer to explain how, during the North Dakota GOP convention, it was ethical for him to speak on Perry Schaefer's behalf after the voting had started. If he felt it necessary to endorse Mr. Schaefer, it should have been done at the appropriate time, not after voting had started.
Well, first of all, there's nothing unethical about standing up for the chairman, especially after the voting started. At least then it's over, right? And people were asking for the floor. And by the way, Chairman Schaefer was extremely tolerant of it. He called on people that really had, seeking inquiries and whatnot, in an effort to, I think, maybe better understand things and to try to change the trajectory of things. I'm one of those people. And my position was, in this effort to try to oust the chairman, something I've never seen even happen, of an organization. And the criticism of Chairman Schaefer, who has, in my view, done a remarkable job of fending off all of the arrows coming at him from every direction. Now, everybody sees the arrows from their direction and sees the pull and tug away from them, but they don't necessarily recognize that he's got the same types of pulls and tugs, particularly in a very narrowly divided issue like the Senate race was. And I, having been the chairman, I wanted to make sure I stood up and at least let the chairman know publicly, while he'd been taking nothing but criticism up to that point from the floor, that at least one person, one delegate, who I think has earned the right to have a say about it, had my say. We can't determine the ethics of somebody's position based on whether it's the same as mine or theirs. Everybody that spoke, I think, had an ethical right to do it.
Let's see here. Texter says, Scott, you know what I want from my senators? I want them screaming at the top of their lungs every day about these wide-open borders. People are worried about marijuana when we have fentanyl with a welcome sign at our border. We're watching it live, gentlemen, the destruction of a sovereign country. Where on earth are the good guys?
Yeah, boy, I don't know that I could scream much more. I was almost hoarse this last week. But I do know people measure effectiveness by screaming, and screaming has its role from time to time. But actions are a lot better than that, and we have consistently, as Republicans, offered legislation, sometimes passed legislation only to not have it move on for various reasons to the other chamber, or the final bill didn't include, you know, that got the amendment and didn't get passed, or whatever the case might be. But this last week was really the opportunity that just sort of blew me up. I did a number of interviews over the week about the fact that the president now wants to lift Title 42. Now, in case you don't know what Title 42 is, Title 42 is what the Trump administration used and the Biden administration up to now has continued to use to actually take, I shouldn't say it this way, but take advantage of the fact that there's a really big pandemic going on that they believe is a major crisis, and to use that Title 42 to prevent a good number of people from crossing the border. Now, when you think about what I just said, to stop a lot of people from crossing the border, even though 2 million of them crossed in the last year. So it clearly didn't stop all of them. It's more than just Title 42, of course, that's a useful tool. They should also build the wall. They should also reinstate, get rid of catch and release and stop that and go back to the relationship with Mexico, using Mexican police at the borders as well, and all the things, good things that Donald Trump did to almost completely stop illegal immigration at the border. And so the Democrats, if you can imagine this, you guys, Democrats argued that Republicans were hypocrites, because we don't support mask mandates for two-year-olds, but we think that that we should use Title 42 to keep the illegals out. Can you imagine that type of a moral equivalent? To which I told one reporter, anybody that would try to rationalize eliminating Title 42 is a hypocrite of the worst order and ought to be looking in the mirror. Just think, we have closed, our president has closed the northern border, the Canadian border, with our friends, our cultural equals in many respects. Our number one trading partner, he has shut down that border while he leaves the southern border wide open to bring to the texters or emailers' point, not just illegal immigrants, but all of this fentanyl that is killing our young people at a much, much, much greater rate than COVID-19 is. And so, we've done a lot of screaming. At least I've done a lot of screaming. I know a lot of my other colleagues have done a lot of screaming, lots of interviews on the topic. It's gotten actually quite a bit of attention. And I quite frankly think that this eliminating Title 42, it's sort of like you're at 40% approval rating and you're going to do everything you can to get to 30, by the 4th of July.
That's a race to the bottom.
It's a bad
let's
politics,
hope so.
Dumb politics.
I'd rather they not do it. I'd rather they build the wall. I'd rather they
need
build
that
the
dependent
wall
voter base, though. Need that dependent voter base
I
in here.
I guess.
Yeah,
so.
I tend to wonder if the worm is turning a little bit when you see the New York Times and Washington Post acknowledging Hunter's laptop is real. Maybe they're trying to throw these guys under the bus to say, you know what, we gotta do something fast, right? I mean, how is it all of a sudden, when this was not an issue during the campaign, what was on that laptop wasn't real, it was Russian disinformation, everything else, and now the Washington Post and the New York Times, the granddaddy of fake news media, is acknowledging it? Don't you think something's behind that?
Well, yeah, it's a little bit like, you know, I don't know, you know, I'm destroying the economy, quick, let's switch the message to I'm killing people. You know, it's like bad on top of bad on top of bad. So if they're trying to create a distraction by now acknowledging not only Hunter Biden's laptop, but the fact that he was traveling to China and other places to do international business with his vice president father, it's pretty hard for the New York Times to get that point. Now, some of it, Scott, there might even be, God forbid, a little sincerity in this. They're probably getting a little bit tired of being lied to by a guy that's constantly changing the topic and changing the narrative in the middle of sentences. And who knows, maybe they're just getting a little bit tired of the guy all along. And by the way, they're all going to be complicit in this. They have allowed this. They have covered for it up to this time. And now that as more and more people and more media outlets are reporting the authenticity of the Hunter Biden crimes and the Hunter Biden laptop, as I said a couple of weeks ago on Meet the Press Daily with Chuck Todd when he was trying to scream over me, if Hunter Biden's name was Trump, they'd be covering the Ukraine war like it was a bad day at a Boy Scout camp.
I heard one of the best analogies of this whole administration. It's like watching the Hindenburg crash into the Titanic. I mean,
yeah, you know,
that's not perfect.
I can't laugh. I want to cry. Tom and Bismarck.
Yeah, I know it is.
Awful. Tom, go ahead for Senator Kramer.
Yeah, I had heard the left wants to melt down Theodore Roosevelt statue that was tore down in Washington. Oh. What are the chances that statue won't make it to the library in Medora?
Yeah, good. I hadn't heard that. I'm not surprised by it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not surprised by it. I don't know who on the left would have that authority at this point. But we'll see. I I'm not a betting guy, but you could start a pool and see where it might land. Nothing would shock me about
You're talking about the statue from New York, I think, right? That's the one that's coming to the
New
library.
York, right.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're making a traveling exhibit out of it. So I haven't heard anything different, but we certainly can ask the folks from Teddy Roosevelt Presidential Library about that, too. Beth in Powers Lake for Senator Kramer. Go ahead, Beth.
Yeah, Mr. Kramer, I was at the convention last weekend, first time attending. I can say I was not impressed with the way it was handled. I was not impressed how you stood up and endorsed Perry Schaefer. Why is your delegate voice more important than mine when we're all there to join together, have our voices heard? And I feel Perry shut everybody down except for who he wanted to talk, which was you, Mr. Kramer. I have been through parliamentary procedure. I grew up in the FFA. I'm familiar with it. Am I a little less lax now? Absolutely. But I felt the convention was run very poorly. I feel they should have been more organized. You don't take a break and try to get a delegate count and then have people coming in late. And it was just very poorly run. And I felt that you stood up and spoke when nobody else had their voices heard. Why is your voice more important than mine?
Well, let me ask you something, Beth. Did not somebody get up and make a motion to support a different person, to place a different name into nomination to run against the sitting chairman of the convention? Didn't somebody do that? And didn't Perry Schaefer, as the chairman, having this person's name placed to run against him, allow that to happen? And didn't he allow people to speak on behalf of that candidate? I'm pretty sure
he did not. He did not allow people to speak on behalf of Gary Emanez. He did not allow people to speak. He said he did not have to call for discussion three times. It wasn't in the rules of order.
So that was just the route that Gary Emanez's name wasn't placed in nomination. We didn't have a vote. I had one vote, just like everybody else had one vote.
I was there too. It's really silly to me. There was a vote. There was a vote. People had Kevin, as a former chairman, I think, has the ability to stand up and say, here's my opinion on it. But people voted. Some agreed, some didn't. I mean, it happened.
Right.
More after this. Don't go away. You find yourself turning on the news and feeling hopeless? Open borders, spending gone crazy, more mandates, lockdowns, inflation. There's something you can do. Buy from companies that believe what you and I believe. Stick together. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. Since 2012, offering broad nationwide coverage. In fact, they use the same towers as all the major carriers. And Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer service. They share your values, support organizations fighting for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, and our veteran and first responder heroes. Go to patriotmobile.com/flagfamily or call 972-PATRIOT. Pre-activation with the offer code FLAGFAMILY. Special discounts for vets and first responders, and multi-line discounts, too. Support a company that loves America and you. PatriotMobile.com/FLAGFAMILY or call 972-PATRIOT.
Let's go to Norway. My name is Carol Juven. I've been in Norway 179 times, and I am inviting you to join us on tour in beautiful Norway for one of our 5 escorted beautiful tours of Norway. We will even assist you with your ties to Norway. If it is from Norway, we will find the family for you. The Best of Norway Tour, Scandinavia, Denmark, Sweden, and Norway. Norway Luxury Tour 1, Norway Luxury Tour number 2, and Southern Norway, the World War II exhibits. Enjoy hundreds of waterfalls and fjords, all settled in the beautiful mountains of Norway. We don't just tour Norway, we meet the people. Call today 1-800-343-0093. Space is limited, 800-343-0093. Online at juventours.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
According to the World Gold Council, while demand for gold is surging, 72% of people reply they lack the necessary know-how to do so. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta, owner of Advantage Gold, hands down the highest-rated gold dealer in the country. The reason? We lead with education. We've taught millions of investors how to buy gold safely and securely, and our in-depth gold guide explains everything you need to know. From what type of metals to consider, if an IRA or cash transaction is best, and how you can be certain that the gold you're buying is authentic, certified, and real. Call 800-900-8000 now and get our number one rated first-time gold buyer's kit. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the information you need to secure your future. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000 today.
What's on your mind? Powered by Schwann Buick GMC.com. Get this headline. GMC's new 1,000 horsepower electric pickup is as unique as it is awesome. Not coming from GM, it's coming from Car and Driver. You can read up on that and a whole bunch of the different car magazines have reviewed, and it's just incredible. The previews are on SchwannBuickGMC.com, but you can order your new 2022 Sierra 1500, and there's over 75 used vehicles in stock, most with that lifetime powertrain warranty. Check it out at SchwannBuickGMC.com.
Final segment with Senator Kevin Cramer. I want to touch on a couple of things that were front and center this week, and one of those included a forced speech by you to call out the lie. And, you know, some people get frustrated that you're not loud, you know, that you're not shouting from the mountaintops, and myself included. I mean, it's just this frustrating time, and there's a lot of people just very frustrated about the direction things are going, and seems like a 100 years till November now, right? So, but, you know, you shouted from the Senate floor about this lie on leases by the Biden administration that they continue to get away with in the media. Gas prices skyrocketing because of their policies. And then they claim, oh, oil companies, we gave you leases. You're not doing anything with them. What lie did you call out on the floor?
So one of the challenges, Scott, in all of this is that when the president says, well, there are 9,000 leases that oil companies have that they're not using on federal lands. And that is one part of the story that's technically true. And you don't often get a lot of time to explain it all. I have done it a number of times with groups in Washington, but I thought I'd better take to the floor and just do a little bit of a lesson on it. So they're right. There's 9,000 leases not being used. But guess what? About 75% of the leases are being used. And the 9,000 leases not being, quote, used are because, you know, there may not be minerals under them. Or the companies haven't done all the due diligence to determine whether it's even drillable. 2,200, imagine this, Scott, 2,200 leases right now are under litigation by liberal groups that have sued the federal government over the leases. And they do that as another roadblock. So you've got all of these pressures on the throat of the industry while they're considering what to do with 9,000 leases. But the big thing that I wanted to point out is Jen Psaki herself has intentionally used the word permit as a substitute for lease. And this is a very important distinction, Scott. Permits and leases are not the same thing. The lease is the first step. Then you do all of the you know, due diligence to determine whether or not there's even a product under the ground to go after. You have to get your financing. You have to set your priorities. But you also have to get a permit to drill. And so they do what's called an APD, an application for permit to drill. It used to be, in fact, under the Trump administration, it went from like 150 or 60 days to get a permit down to 44. The Biden administration has that back up to closer to 200 days. And the way they do that is they've now required, not only does the BLM in Dickinson, for example, if you're a Bakken, you know, producer, not only do they look at the application, they then send it to Billings, to the regional office. They look at the application, do their due diligence, and now the Biden requires it to go all the way to Washington to the Deputy Secretary of the Interior. So this is how they slow walk the permitting process, at which point your banker and the company goes, you know what, this would be a lot easier to do in Russia or some other foreign country, Africa, or
on state land. I mean, they are doing exactly what Joe Biden promised to do in the campaign. No more drilling, period.
He absolutely said it. We will get rid of them. That's what he said. Yep. No more.
So that's now the exactly gas prices, right. They got to find a different culprit, and it's the oil companies. And the oil companies say, well, approve the permit then. You know, I mean, the permit's in front of you.
Right.
But again, I don't think you can say this enough. That's why I'm glad you're doing it from the Senate floor.
Yep.
And again, just doing everything we can to get attention on this. That and the border are two things that I think are turning people against this administration by the day, don't you?
Oh, there's no question about people. No. And you cannot convince people that their gas prices aren't going up, Joe Biden. You cannot convince them that there's not 8% increase in the cost of everything. Inflation is at 8%. But we also remember there's a war being fought in Ukraine. That war could spill over into other NATO countries. We are trying to help them win the war. At least you'd think we are. I'm not so sure sometimes, but anyway. So yeah, there's a lot going on and they're forever trying to change the topic.
So you're saying the fact that Jen Psaki said there are 9,000 approved permits that aren't being used is not accurate?
That would be untruthful. Yes.
Yeah.
But she said it.
Permits are not leases.
Let me finish. Let me finish.
An executive order.
Peter,
halted new oil and gas.
Let me give you the facts here. Oh, and I know that can be inconvenient, but I think they're important in this moment.
Yeah.
To the contrary, we have been clear that in the short term, supply must keep up with the demand.
Wow.
Where we are, and here and around the world, will we make the shift to a secure, clear, clean energy?
I don't want to hear it.
Unbelievable.
Meanwhile,
yeah.
Remember,
in fact.
Short-term supply, that's what she's implying there is that oil companies can just turn a valve and meet that short-term demand with the supply and then turn it back off when we're tired of you.
But meanwhile, in the name of climate change, they're doing everything in their power to not let that happen. That's why I was glad you asked Secretary of Defense Austin and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs Mark Milley this question. Do you think China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea are going to be slowed in their military development by climate change concerns? Do you know of any of them that have plans to reach net zero? And they had to answer that question how?
Well, that skirt around it. Well, you know, we ask you, what Lloyd Austin says, well, we ask you, Senator, for $773 million to build the capabilities that we need to, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, frankly, it's not enough, and I hope we can get you a lot more than that. But keep the main thing, and that is, you know, fighting the bad guys, not climate change. He used the word climate change five times in his written
unbelievable.
This is
your United States military, you know, and that's the... Boy, November can't come fast enough. Senator Kevin Cramer, thanks for the time today. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
If you're going to be on the honor guard flight, I'll see you over the weekend.
That's right. Go get them. We'll hear from Todd Monday.
Did you know that the oil and natural gas industry touches every corner of North Dakota? It's true. Each year, the industry pays over $2 billion to the state of North Dakota. That money flows across the state, funding everything from education, roads and flood control projects, to social services and law enforcement. Learn more at ndpetroleumfoundation.org. North Dakota Oil and Natural Gas. Advancing the possibilities.
An American Classical Education for pre-K through grade 12 has arrived in North Dakota. Capstone Classical Academy in Fargo will start classes for pre-kindergarten through 6th grade in the fall of 2022, followed by adding at least one additional grade each year. Students who enroll in 2022 will be able to graduate from Capstone. This is not a new way to educate, but a return to what works. Capstone Classical Academy is a Hillsdale College member school. To find out more, go to capstoneclassical.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
Stock market have you nervous? With geopolitical conflict and inflation concerns, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you don't have to. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word DEMO to 813813 and discover how to predict stock market trends up to 3 days ahead with incredible accuracy. Whether you trade stocks, options, forex, futures, or crypto, Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text DEMO to 813813 to get what you need to stay ahead of the markets and find big moves before they happen. Don't wait. Text DEMO to 813813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results
do not guarantee future performance. By texting DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of VantagePoint. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.